الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting carrying on, I inform Alana Musa, he has prepared Jazahumullah Khair these kitabs on beliefs, Muamalat, our business, financial dealings, and then Ibadat, our worship, and Muasharat, which we read now, and also Akhlaq, we read Hazrat Hakim Khabs. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali's kitab, after Isha. So these other four kitabs, they've been prepared about 3 years ago now. We are reading them, and we are reading it out. They have not been printed, so that if there are any additions, subtractions, corrections, etc., so we appeal to everyone when we feel something here is not clear, or something should be added here, or something should not, it doesn't apply, please do inform us. So before the kitab is printed, then these things can be corrected. And alhamdulillah, this was also the way of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. His kitabs, which he used to prepare, should be also read out in his majlis. And then in that, if there was, it was a bayan also at the same time, and if there was any addition, correction, that was also done. And usually in Hazrat's majalis, there were great ulama present also. And people from the public also, everyone looks at the thing from a different point, perspective. So how we can make it most beneficial, applicable, and no ambiguity, that is very important. Many things give rise to a lot of ambiguity. So if all assist in this matter, it will be greatly appreciated. As far as keeping our rozas, and we mentioned keeping roza of the eyes, which we had discussed to some detail, and which is very important. Then also roza of the tongue, also we have discussed some aspects. Further, with regard to the harms of the tongue, when the tongue is not used correctly, one of the greatest harms of the tongue is backbiting, ghibat. And this is a terrible guna. It comes in the Quran Sharif also. It is like eating the dead flesh of your brother who has died, his dead flesh. It is like eating that. Who will ever tolerate to do that? Once we were in the Kruger National Park, and we had come to a place where the lions had done the kill. Maybe 2-3 days ago, we didn't see all that, and it looked like a giraffe they had killed. And they had eaten whatever they wanted to, and they had gone. And now the hawks and the vultures were feasting on the leftover. And this was after 2-3 days perhaps it looked like. So we stopped at the place to look, and then we turned down the windows, and when we opened the windows, the stench and smell that was coming was so terrible that we couldn't stand there for another minute or a moment even. We had to close the windows, use some attar, and we had to drive away. So like this, when a person backbites, if it comes in the hadith, a stench even worse than that comes out from his mouth. But unfortunately, when we are backbiting, then we are enjoying talking, whatever we are backbiting about the person we are running down, talking about his faults, etc., and his weaknesses, and we are enjoying it. And many times we are rolling on our stomachs with laughter that he is like this, he's got this quality. But in the meantime, the farishtas, the angels that Allah had deputed for our protection also, every person Allah has put malaika, lahu muaqibatu min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfihi yahfazunahu min amrillah. They are malaika. In fact, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written, Mufti Ibrahim Saliji, the Ahmad Barakatum quoted, that Allah has appointed 10 malaika just to look after our eyes. But when we cause them this inconvenience, they cannot take it. Then they go to such a distance, the smell goes to very far, and they go further than that, and they are very, very clean, sensitive. The malaika can't take a bad smell in the least, but, and not our bad smells that, like the smell of a fasting person, that sometimes we can't tolerate it. But Allah loves that smell. For His sake, a person has kept hungry, has kept a fast for the pleasure of Allah. Allah loves that smell that comes. But what upsets them are these spiritual things, which we don't take no heed about. So this is a terrible sin, the sin of backbiting. That when we are backbiting, when we are lying, slandering, taunting, being cynical, being sarcastic, all these things, these are all major gunas. And this causes a terrible smell to come out. That like the giraffe, that was a physical smell, which we all can make out. Muslim, non-Muslim, everyone can make it out. But this smell, some pious people went out with this. It is said about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when a person used to make wudu, then he should see the sins that are falling as he's washing his limbs. And he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, remove this from me. I don't want to see the faults of my Muslim brothers. Unfortunately, we are today where we go and look. We not only that we just happen to see a fault, we go and search for faults. We look for faults of our Muslim brothers. And also how sad, forget Muslim brothers, we look for faults in our wives. The wives look for faults in the husband, where really this is a place where we should be covering up for one another. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says that we are libas, we are clothing for one another. That is, like clothing covers our faults, but we go and look for faults of our families. And so when there is a lost love between the two, the wife looks for faults with the husband all the time. The husband finds fault with the wife, that your cooking is no good, you don't look nice, your figure is not nice, you're very ugly. All these things, this faults that we find, all these words, we might be making ourselves happy, but Allah is unhappy. And His malaika cannot tolerate all this. We might be thinking ourselves to be very pious, as the Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has explained. Many people, from the whole night's ibadat, they got nothing but tiredness. One of the reasons, what Hazrat explains, is that you made the whole night ibadat, which was a very superior act and a work of the malaika, but in the morning you backbited. And now all that whole night's reward is destroyed, and you got nothing from there. So therefore, and all this starts when a person starts talking. In the Khanqahs of before, one particular thing that was a lot of stress that was laid on, that a person should not talk unnecessarily. And also what is necessarily, also to the bare minimum. Not also such so little words that the person can't understand what you are trying to say, but unnecessarily lengthening the talk, this was not permitted. And the people should keep rozas in the ummats of before, rozas of not talking. For a few days, 3 days roza, that I won't talk. And in the Khanqahs, those people who had the habit of talking a lot were made to wear a board hung around their neck, and it was written, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. So if a person is suffering from that, he should do that, put this board here and say, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. So that inshallah, that by this practice, and this is all for to stay away in this training period from permissible things, which are things which are haram, that is haram always. But the roza of not talking is not to talk of permissible things. Haram things are haram all the time. Out of Ramadan, out of roza, whenever it is, in the Khanqah, out of the Khanqah, it is all the time haram. But this is not to talk of permissible things. And if a person will do this, insha'Allah, Allah Ta'ala will bless him, that from haram he will stay away. In the life stories of many buzurgs, where they talk of their good qualities, there are many buzurgs they talk, like for example, it is famous about Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi also, that in his majlis there would be never backbiting. So this is an important feature which people had noticed. Otherwise, many times, we discuss these people, we discuss those people, we discuss everyone, and we don't know where we have fallen into backbiting. Backbiting is such a stupid act also, that you earned very hard, you worked very hard, and you earned a good amount of money. But when you went and deposit, you deposit in your enemy's account. Because when you backbite about somebody, then your good deeds will be transferred to that person. That person will come and collect and take away. You backbited about me, and he'll take away your good deeds. And if we don't have good deeds, then his bad deeds will be put into our account. So if a person, he made lot of business, he pulled off a good deal, not lot of profit, when he went to the bank, then his enemy, who he doesn't like, he went and deposited into his account. Who will be so stupid? So, and who you backbite about? Somebody that you have got some dislike for. Maulana Sulaiman Janji Rahmatullah Ali used to give this beautiful example, that if you are sitting in the train, India trains he was referring to, where there are these benches, in certain trains those days, where for about four people can sit. And you are sitting three people, but you are sitting with your legs spread out. You are comfortably sitting, a stranger comes, and you haven't got any inclination, any feeling for that person. You stretch your legs even more out, so that you make it known that there isn't place. But when a friend comes, you see immediately, there's a lot of place. How they all shift up, and they make place immediately. So this is the condition of the heart. When we don't like somebody, every smallest thing is a problem. And when we like somebody, big problems also, we don't see the problems also. So this is cleansing of the heart. And backbiting also starts when the heart is dirty. It's not necessary. And what is backbiting? That person hasn't got the fault. If he has got that fault, what you are talking, then it is backbiting, if he has got that fault. And if he hasn't got that fault, then it is false accusation. You are just accusing the person, it is slandering the person, which is even a bigger sin. So when the heart is not clean, we find faults with people all the time. This has been discussed in a few kitabs already about backbiting, but as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, that when he came on this subject, he wanted to write even more extensively on it. Because he said this is such a disease which is in our pious people and our learned people also. And the sad part is that we try and cover it up, that we are just talking of the truth. So one alim in the haram of Makkah Sharif, and this another alim related that he was sitting in the haram of Makkah very long, many years ago, and right in front of the Kaaba he's making ghibat. So he told that alim that how can you be making, and this is what happens when we go there and we're talking of somebody else back home, somebody else who has also come for Hajj or for Umrah, and we're discussing some weaknesses of that person, or weaknesses we perceive to be weaknesses, and we don't realize that how shaitan traps us, that right in the Haram Sharif, there we are caught with ghibat. Right in the haram of Medina Sharif without realizing it. And also going for Umrah, etc., which is very, very meritorious, but we must be a lot on our guard. A group of people who are going for Hajj, so the Shaykh saw them going, he asked them, where are you people going? They say, we're going for Hajj. He says, do you know the owner of the house? Do you know the house, the Kaaba to whom it belongs? Do you know him? They said, no, we don't know him. He said, stay 1 year by me. It was the Nafal Hajj. Stay 1 year by me. Let me introduce you to him. Then you know him. Then when you go to his house, you will appreciate it much more. And without knowing him, then you will just see a house as a house. But when you know the owner of the house, then you will be more fascinated and overwhelmed and overtaken by the owner of the house. And also, how Allah has built this Kaaba. It's a simple cube according to us. But Allah Ta'ala has made it such that go now, go after 6 hours, go after 12 hours. Go after 6 weeks, go after 6 years, you will find it. They just expanding the mataf all the time. And they are expanding the haram. That house is so beautiful that it's attracting people from around the world. All types of people. Sickly people are going. Healthy people are going. Busy people are going. All types of people all the time. And there isn't a moment when it is empty. It just carries on all the time. So that is how beautiful Allah has built it. But it is for us to see that beauty. This is the place where all the malaika come down to. Malaika are making tawaf. And according to narrations, great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their arwah are also present. And they are also making tawaf. And the haram Allah has made it such that every Nabi that went for Hajj, he is barakat and his fuyuz, his effulgence, nurani and ruhani effulgence is captivated, is preserved in the haram. And if we have those eyes, and this is what that buzurg meant, that first learn about Hajj and then you go. And then the first step you put into the haram, with the correct way, with your right leg, reading the dua, all that anwarat you receive already. But otherwise, we spent 6 weeks, we went for Hajj. And we came back, but we just came back as empty as we went. And in fact, perhaps that sometimes, lene ko gaye, dene ke ho gaye. That we went to collect, but we find ourselves that we lost out, in fact, more. So therefore, if we prepare, this Hajj karne ka masnoon tariqa, one beautiful kitab on Hajj and Umrah also, right at the beginning, a poem is written that a person has reached his kafan already, but he hasn't learned how to die as yet. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Allah says, don't die, but in such a condition that you have totally submitted yourself to Allah Ta'ala. But how many of us who are dying, we are reaching the kafan, but we haven't learned how to die. That we surrender ourselves totally to Allah. Our desires we surrender to Allah Ta'ala. So this is what has to be learned. So when we go for Hajj also, if we get prepared, otherwise we'll be going there and sitting in the biggest masjid of the world, of everywhere, the haram of Makkah, and we'll be sitting and making, we will be backbiting. Backbiting is referred to as a sin, as a guna, a sin worse than taking interest also. It has been referred to as a guna worse than committing incest with one's own mother also. And yet it is so common and we don't pay any attention. One good friend of ours, Allah grant him Jannat and Ali, he said if you want to eat prawns, there is ikhtilaf in the masala, whether it's makruh or not makruh or whatever. He says, if you want to eat prawns. But don't eat the alim of your town, the imam of your town. What happens also, and this is another very serious thing, and which we don't take notice of, this sin of backbiting. Some other sins, you have to go to a certain place to commit this sin. You have to, all different times and places, but this happens right in our home. We return home, we're going to be having Sunday lunch. Other days, unfortunately, we're not at home for lunch, or at night, supper, and the whole family is sitting around, and now we start discussing a certain person. Maulana Ahmed Buzurg, the present principal of Dhabel Madrasa, his grandfather, he used to say a person who backbited about 7 or 8 alims, he said, I assure you, When we bury a person in the qabr, we put a little support at the back and we turn him towards the qibla. He says, if you turn around and look again, you'll see his face is turned away from the qibla. Which is a very, very serious matter. And today this is a common thing. The ulama might be having some differences amongst them, but it doesn't give us any license that we criticize the ulama. But today it's our subject. Wherever we meet, social gatherings, etc., then it is our subject that we discuss the ulama. And we are passing verdicts. Who is right? I think this one is right in this, and I think that one is right. And this is a common thing. And we don't know how shaitan is getting us. And we are thinking we are very pious, very learned, and we know a lot about deen. But in the meantime, we are involved in this. So, and also, somebody has said very nicely, though it is not it's not a watertight rule, that if you want to backbite about some family member. So the capital of the house doesn't go out of the house. It remains in the house. Who you backbite it about? Then that person, that sawab will go into that person's account. Your capital is not gone out of the family. It remains in the family. And also, we have to be very careful. Sometimes we have to discuss a person. We want to give a contract to somebody. Now you have to discuss the pros and cons of it. We have to consult an alim, a mufti, so that we stay within the limits. That person hasn't got a good history about his the work that he does, etc. Where are we going beyond the limits and falling into backbiting? And where is it necessary for us that we have to discuss certain points? So this is all necessary to know. It's not left to our discretion in any way whatsoever. So this, when such an occasion arises, do consult with somebody and find out. Also, this happens, all of us are not big business people and we are giving out contracts, etc. We are not tendering, etc. But this occasion does arise when our daughter wants to get married, is about to get married, the son. We want to propose by somebody. Then we have to find out. You don't just go in the dark and propose. You find out. But yeah, also we must, and when we give reference also, that we don't fall on the one side into backbiting, and on the other side, we don't mislead the person also. We know of certain weaknesses which we are sure about, but we don't disclose them. And those people, they take our word for it. And they think, well, this person has said, he gave reference, so this is a very good occasion. So there are details of this, and that we have to see. Or somebody proposed for our daughter. Now we want to find out about the boy. We say he studied in your madrasa. How did you find him? So, and today is the thing that you can't just see a person's outward public life. You can't just see a person's family. Today people don't care about family. It wasn't very long where the family may name meant a lot to the family. But today this doesn't mean anything. And what that person, the best is to try and find out from close friends of his, that what his habits are, etc. Then you can find out. Otherwise, many people, we fall into such a trap at the time of marriage, that we are shocked what we expected. And also, very important to note, as far as this is concerned, that in the hadith we are told, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِعَرْبَعِينَ. A woman is married for one of four reasons. The last one that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِدِينِهَا, for the sake of her deen. فَاسْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. So look for deen in the person. Yeah, it is not knowledge that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِعِلْمِهَا, because of her knowledge of deen. Or the boy has got knowledge of deen, that is an alim. Or the girl is an alima. But that is not sufficient for the deen. And what is deen? That knowledge in action. That knowledge in practice, that is deen. The boy is an alim, the girl is an alima. They know that five times namaz is faraz. But are they making faraz? Are they getting up for fajr, for example? Is the boy going for fajr namaz, etc.? They know that to look at porn is haram. They got the knowledge and they got it thoroughly. They can write a whole kitab on it. But are they watching porn or not? That is a different thing. What type of friends they are keeping. So anyway, backbiting is a terrible sin that we have to be on our guard about. And if we pass our one Ramadan correctly, 30 days, and if we made it 40, and we saved our tongue from permissible things also, then inshaAllah, we will get saved from this backbiting. Also, permissible things are not to this extent. Sometimes it is difficult, very hard to give hard to give advice. You don't understand the level of the person. One mother gave her daughter advice that when you go to your in-laws, then don't just start talking one way. She took it to the extreme that she wasn't talking at all. Not talking and just keeping quiet. Now the in-laws got worried that what's wrong with her, why isn't she talking? So finally, when the mother-in-law asked her that, why aren't you talking? She said, I'm very worried. We asked, what are you worried about? He said that if my husband has to die, what will happen to me? She said, if you rather kept quiet, it should have been better. Well, you spoke, and this is what you spoke. Similarly, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, had explained the masala that when the sun sets, it's time to open the roza. In fact, you don't have to wait for azan, like here, on the siren, that is when sun sets. And a precaution of 3 minutes we usually take. Though not necessary, but it's advisable. Today, various calculations are also different. If you see the Al-Asr watch, their calculation is different. You see the Al-Fajr watch, their calculation is a minute's difference you find. You find that Makkah University, their calculations which they give are different. And you give the Pakistani University, their calculation. So a precaution of 3 minutes is advisable. But if you are sure, you don't have to wait for azan. You are quite confident the sun has set. You can open your roza. So anyway, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi explained this masala that when the sun sets, ghurub shams, then it is you can open your roza. So one person who was sitting always very close, and in fact Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi was also overawed with that person, like a very big alim, a great buzurg, and a very big alim, allama. So he was also like on his guard when he was making a bayan of his masala. So, and he never spoke, and that is, when a person doesn't speak, you put a sort of an awe, a fear in the people. Somebody thinks this person is in very deep waters. This person knows a lot, that's why he's not speaking. Empty vessels make the biggest noise. So those who are empty, they're always making a noise. So those people, you don't worry. But a person who does, this person has got something. So after how many, what a period. So then he asked the masala, and if the sun doesn't set, then what? So Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi told, had you kept quiet, I should still have so much respect for you. But that you spoke, and such a thing you spoke, now I also lost my respect for you. So anyway, not talking is good. And also it comes in the Hadith Sharif, a person who keeps quiet for the pleasure of Allah, for 40 days, Allah makes the fountains of wisdom to gush from his bosom. So this is when for Allah's sake we keep quiet. Then Allah Ta'ala will bless that person. Also it is narrated that Balla wirda lahu la warida lah. A person who hasn't got any wazifas to read, Quran Sharif, Manzil, other wazifas to read, then nothing really comes into his heart also. But when he has this contact with Allah Ta'ala, and from Quran Sharif, wazaif from Quran Sharif, they will build that contact, Allah will bless him with such nur and such points that people will get surprised. And this, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain from the teachings of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, that if a person has got a glass of water, his water is limited to one glass. If a person has got a jug of water, to one jug, one bucket, one bath. But if a person is connected to the reservoir with his step, then how much water hasn't he got? If a person is connected and the reservoir is connected to a dam or a river from the where the water is coming, if a person is connected to the ocean, his water will never get finished. So like that, what Allah puts into a person, not just blabbering like or going on just talking, anything, we have to make a remark. Whether it makes sense, it doesn't make sense, but only that person is good company, especially when we're having a braai, we're having a picnic or something, then we don't want all big Sufis there who are just keeping quiet. We want those who can talk and make a remark of any and everything. They just make remarks of everything. And only they are regarded as good company. So a person who all the time, who just talks like that, this is not referring to that. But that person who Allah Ta'ala has put knowledge into him. Whenever he opens his tongue, which comes in the hadith, that when you see him, you get remembered of Allah. When he speaks, you get reminded of Akhirah. That is what Allah will put into a person. Now this person won't just speak of things of dunya like that. He will speak of things which have got value. with things which will make our lives valuable. So this also we have to be very careful about talking, and particularly one big guna of the tongue is backbiting. Another very big guna of the tongue is lying. This is also very common, unfortunately, amongst us. And without reason, we lie also. When a person gets into, in fact, one of the signs of a munafiq, whenever he speaks, he lies. And this is also very common. But we don't do an analysis of ourselves. We just take it for granted that I'm pious because I dress like a pious person. And in fact, this dressing and titles are also very, very dangerous also. A person will be taken to task and will be judged according to his dressing and according to the titles. We giving the impression that I'm a very pious person. And in fact, we are not. We will be judged according to the pious. We give the impression people like to dress like ulama when they are not ulama. And then they will be taken to task for that also. So, ulama are supposed to have a special way of dressing, which today, alhamdulillah, through the barakat of our akabir, they dress in a very simple way, our ulama. Our great, great ulama. Otherwise, if you go and see till today, in the Arab world, the ulama, you will be able to make out, this is an alim, how he dresses. Or they wear that mishla. They've got a special way of dressing. But our great akabir, they always chose a very simple way of their life, in their dressing, their lifestyle, etc. And at times it's necessary to make it known that you're an alim. For example, you are traveling 5-6 people, and a discussion starts of making namaz, which way is Qibla, etc. Or is the time set in for namaz? And everyone is giving his own view, especially those who are shallow in their knowledge. They are too quick to give their opinions. And if they are giving wrong opinions, there to keep quiet is not correct. You were there to say that I'm an alim, I've studied this masala, and the masala is like this. This is how it should be done. But if you otherwise, just imagine Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he should be shy away from making imamat. But he should be always ahead in giving adhan. He should prefer giving adhan always. But making imamat, he should shy away. Even showing the masala, if there were other ulama, he would keep quiet. Unless he was specifically asked, then he would say the masala. While others are giving the masala, well, they also ulama. They also have got their proofs from Quran and Hadith, and they are qualified ulama. Not just the ulama of their own house, or ulama, they got the certificate from Google. Google gave them the certificate that that you're an alim, that you have graduated. No, they are actual ulama. So, these people, usually they don't just speak. So this is, we have to learn, yeah, and alhamdulillah, how it seems that this is coming to quite a bit under control. That there are quite a few brothers who are not really talking. You see them when they are going for wuzu, coming from wuzu, they are just on their own. Busy what they think, what the Quran Sharif, etc., reading. That they have cut down talking to great levels, or they have brought it down to minimum. While, unfortunately, there is still the complaint. There are those other brothers till late hours of the night. They would sit and they will just be talking away. Or today the talking is not, you don't need somebody. Like today you're traveling in the car and suddenly you hear some sound, somebody's talking. You're thinking they're asking you something. The next you notice they're talking with somebody in another continent. They're talking with somebody in another world, they're talking to somebody there. They're not busy talking with you. You thinking they're talking with you. So all these things here, this talking, unnecessary talking, whether it's on the cell phone, whether it's just messaging, receiving messages also, any small thing, message is gone. And how many times it causes confusion. It wasn't the truth also. But we just have to be busy with our fingers all the time. And today's talking is with the fingers more than what it is with the tongue. A person is all the time typing, etc., and using that. So this is very important. In a hadith sharif, according to one riwayat, one sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best Muslim? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That the best Muslim is that person that people are safe from his tongue and from his hands. There are quite a few lessons for us to learn from this hadith. The one is that the hadith says, al-muslimu, that a Muslim. So some people who have got this wrong aqidah, a belief also, that if a person commits a major sin, then he's out of the fold of Islam. So yeah, this hadith says, a Muslim is that person that others are saved, man salim al-muslimun, that other Muslims are saved from his tongue and from his hand. So if a person just look at the words of the hadith, he will say that a person, a Muslim who causes inconvenience, injury, harm to another Muslim by his hand and tongue, then that person is not a Muslim. It will be such a serious matter he will do. He will throw him out of the fold of Islam, and perhaps he himself will fall or will be thrown out of the fold of Islam. So therefore, it is necessary that we don't just take up a hadith kitab. Today it is also a common disease. We go for Hajj Umrah and we buy a set of Bukhari Sharif. That was a time past. Now we got it on the internet, the whole Bukhari Sharif. And we go to a hadith and we make our own meaning. There are still the many places, those groups of so-called academics, doctors, lawyers, people who have studied at university, they make their own halqas of Quran tafsir. And they read one ayat and each person gives his own opinion, what he thinks what that ayat means. And in that group, there are females also. And the males and females all sit around a table. And in Western style, completely dressing and everything, and everyone gives his own opinion. You can never get deen in that way. That will be a deen of your own opinion, not the deen of Islam. Deen of Islam is based on that Quran Sharif, the words which are also from Allah, and the meaning also. So yeah, this hadith also, if we take out our own meaning, that any person who commits any major guna, and there are those people who have got this, that a person who commits any major guna is not in the fold of Islam. Whereas the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah unanimous masala is that though he is not a perfect Muslim, but he is still a Muslim. So anyway, so that is one point that we make, al-Muslimu, yeah, you have to say a perfect Muslim. Man salim al-Muslimun, that other Muslims are protected. Yeah, again you can take out the wrong meaning that a Muslim is permitted, is licensed according to this hadith to cause inconvenience, injury, harm to non-Muslims. Because the hadith says who does not inconvenience Muslims. So Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh gave a very beautiful explanation of this. The reason why Muslim is used here, because a Muslim interacts mostly with other Muslims. Every group, they interact with them. So therefore Muslim. But in actual, it means any person who does not cause wrongly, without reason. He doesn't cause inconvenience to any other person. Whether it's a Christian, whether it's a Jew, a Hindu, whoever it is, a Muslim is such. And ulama have explained, by extension of the essence of the meaning of this hadith, that he does not cause inconvenience even to animals. He does not even cause inconvenience to the environment, which is substantiated by hadith also. So that, for example, don't urinate or don't do number two in standing water, in water. Don't under a tree where people sit for shade. Don't go and urinate there. Don't mess that place. All these things. So a Muslim is that person. So yeah, it is that also with regard to the tongue. That with our tongue we must not cause any inconvenience. And whether this is, we insult somebody, and this also again, very sadly, starts off right in the home. We insult the wife so much, we insult the children so much, we say we are making tarbiyah, but we are pushing the person further away from deen, because our tarbiyah is not made. As Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, there are many ustads who are in a madrasa who beat up the children so badly because they didn't learn their sabak or some wrong they had done, or they insult them so badly and they say we are making tarbiyat. He says it's first necessary for you to go and have your tarbiyat done. before you can make the tarbiyat of somebody else. So many of us, we had a student from another country, and he was hitting another student, also of his own country. The case came to the office and, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm disciplining you." So we want to discipline others, and we need ourselves to be disciplined. So all this, we have to go through the process ourselves. Then we can go into to teach somebody else and discipline somebody else. So this also happens where insulting of family members, etc., of other people, and we thinking that we are doing a very great, great service. Many times we think I'm doing Amar bil Ma'ruf. And Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahya anil Munkar is a whole subject of its own, and a person has to learn how to do it. For example, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali himself writes, he was travelling by train, and there are many examples of this nature. And a person's trouser was below his ankles. So he asked, told him to raise it, pull it up. So he asked, why? So he said, because it's a rule of Sharia, that person swore Sharia. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, I vowed at that time that I won't correct Amar bil Ma'ruf until I know the person, know his temperament, know about him, then I will tell him. He was a gunegar, he was a sinner. I put him into kufr now, because now he saw Sharia. So therefore, who to tell, where? Mardum Shunas or Mauka Shunas. All these are very, which person, and who should tell him? Should I tell him? Should I ask somebody else to tell him? Not just we see something wrong and we start blurting out, which is also, unfortunately, we can't contain ourselves. And we feel that when it comes to speaking the truth, I just can't keep quiet. But we are causing more harm in the process also. So we have to learn all that. With our tongue, don't cause any injury. And also very striking in this hadith, the ulama have explained that lisanihi wa yadihi. First tongue is meant, and then the hand is mentioned. First tongue is mentioned. The reason for that is whenever an argument starts, you will never find the person just landing a blow on the next person. First you will talk. And now when he has become quite angry with what he's talking, you did this, you said that, then his hands start moving also. It's not that you just start hitting a person or something like that. No, you first talk and then you get your anger builds up more. So lisanihi is meant first and then yadihi. So this is a time also, if we want to make our islah, that we learn to control our tongues also. And we keep roza of the tongue also. And this is, there is no better and ideal place and time that with our roza, without eating, we try our best to speak as little as possible, only what is, and another great benefit will come if we do it. Not just a matter of speaking and listening, but if we do it, we will see that we will definitely put the cart in front of the horse. Put the horses in front of the cart. Otherwise, what happens? We're always putting the cart in front of the horse. Like many times in a discussion afterwards, when we again a hind view, then we say, I should have told him this. I shouldn't have said this. Had you thought at that time, then you should have, why think afterwards? We speak first and then we think afterwards. Whereas the correct thing is to think first and then speak. For example, each one of us take, alhamdulillah, insha'Allah, all are reading lot of Quran Sharif. Every time we take the Quran Sharif we're going to read, do we make niyat? Think to ourselves, are we making niyat or not? Now we are set here for bayan. Did I make niyat of making this bayan? Of listening to the bayan? Or we just moving in a procedure? We are just like we are computerized. And our machine which is now set, and everything is just happening as the next moment. Or niyat is so important. And then we will see that many times, simple things that you wanted to say, that you are first making a niyat. That must, I want to call that person. You'll see it just comes automatically. That should I call him or will I be causing inconvenience? Is it so important that I call him now, then I leave it for a later time? And then a person's life starts becoming regulated. Otherwise, there is really no difference between a Muslim's life and a non-Muslim's life. There is really no difference between a human being's life and an animal's life. Animals also just do everything according to impulse and instinct. Just what they feel like doing, they do. Are we also just like that? Impulse. Or do we think a little bit? As, alhamdulillah, to that extent, inshallah, every Muslim has got it. That when you Ramzan, now you are hungry, you want to eat. But no, I got roza, I can't eat. The same way you think, I want to say this, I got roza also. One person, it was Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, or our Baji Patel of Zakaria, who has passed away, Allah grant all Jannah. It was one of our senior people. He was in first class, and they offered wine for him to drink, complimentary wine. So he refused. So he says, no, what is it? You can drink. So then, in fact, that hostess even knew the masala, according to her. That if you drink a little which doesn't intoxicate you, it's all right. It doesn't, it's not harmful. It's not haram. So then when she kept on, he said, do me a favor, go and give this to the pilot. So he said, no, the pilot can't. Why? He's on duty. So he said, I'm also on duty. With Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has made it haram for me. I can't drink, I'm on duty. But do we think when we talk, I'm on duty? Anything else, when I want to walk, when I want to go somewhere, am I on duty or am I just a free man like an animal just gets up, it wants to go somewhere, it just goes. A non-Muslim, no duty. Whatever it wants to do, whenever, it will just do it. Or am I on duty? That thought will come to a person. If we will keep our rozas and spend, and this our coming together, is this not for coming together, it is to bring this. That we realize that I'm on duty all the time. One time, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was traveling by train, and just like plane, we are restricted to how much weight we can carry by train also. I think it was 50 kilograms per passenger. I don't know now if it is whatever it might be. So anyway, he came to the station, and that person there knew Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he was overweight. So he said, no, it's all right, you can go. He said, you will let me go. But the conductor on the train, that he's going to have a problem if he's going to see my goods or more. So he says, no, I will speak to him. He says, you will speak to him, it's fine, but I'm going on a long journey. And conductors change every 6 hours or something, their duties change, but another person comes on. He said, then there will be another conductor. So he said that, I will tell this conductor to tell that conductor. He said, but I'm even going further stuff. He says that, then when I come to the station where I'm going to get off, they're going to check on me there. So now he became kept a bit quiet. Then he said, my journey is not only to that station, my journey is till the Qabr. And my journey is till the day of Qiyamah. Are you going to speak to the farishtas in the Qabr also and tell them to let me go? And you're going to speak to on the day of Qiyamah also and tell them to let me go? So this is a person starts becoming conscious. This one little tongue, don't think it's a small thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you give me the guarantee of two things, and I will give you the guarantee of Jannah. That small piece of flesh between your jaws, and the piece of flesh between your thighs. To control this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will give you guarantee of Jannah. This tongue, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will people be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam, but for anything else besides the tongue. This tongue is very important. And so we have to learn, keep our, if you want to talk, it comes in the hadith also, just excessive talking is without zikrullah. Zikrullah, tilawat of Quran, dua, bayan properly, all this no problem. But otherwise, just this talking habit that we have got. And many of us are suffering. Women also, they just have to be talking. Anyone just comes in, you have to comment on the shoe, have to comment on the handbag, have to comment on the style of walking, have to comment on everything, we have to comment. Till we don't comment, we are not, we didn't do our duty. And who is paying us for all this? Nobody. So may Allah Ta'ala make it that we keep Roza of the tongue, and then we become a Muslim. We can become a Muslim. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, to become a Jannati is easy, to become a Muslim is difficult. Jannati wat la ilaha illallah, inshallah, Allah's mercy is very great. We will go to Jannat, but to become a Muslim, and we have the qualities of a Muslim, and that is when Islam will come in our lives, in our homes, then Islam will spread in the world. Haji Bey Padia Rahmatullah Ali used to say a lot, the world have heard a lot about Islam, they have read a lot about Islam, they want to see living Islam, and that is on us, that your living Islam comes into us. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا.